Let us now turn to the Word of God for our reading, for our meditation, for our instruction in righteousness, for our praise of Him, for our adoration of the Almighty. We turn now to the prophecy of Isaiah and the 30th chapter, Isaiah, the chapter 30, reading from the verse 1. This is the word of Almighty God. Come, let us hear His holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be an help nor profit, but a shame, and also a reproach. The burden of the beasts of the south, into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper and the fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to sit still. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come for ever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant, and he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest ye shall be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, and at the rebuke of 5 shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on an hill. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, the word of Almighty God, and may the Lord be pleased to grant his own blessing to that public reading of his most holy, infallible, inerrant, and precious word. Dear congregation, turning your prayerful attention once again to the words which I read to you in your hearing just a few moments ago, as I read from the prophet Isaiah in the 30th chapter, may the Lord be pleased to graciously enable me this evening to address you from his word, the words which I believe that the Lord has laid upon my spirit this evening are found in the 15th verse of Isaiah, the 30th chapter. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And then we have these words which are applicable to Judah and certainly to Israel in her day. And ye would not. And ye would not. These are very important cardinal truths from God's holy word that not just concern the people of God in Judah's day, in Israel's day, but they concern God's people throughout all ages, throughout all time. They serve as very important truths. These words can be applied to us. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, ye shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And I pray that it will be so for us. We will not be as those disobedient nations were. Now within that nation, those two nations, Israel in the north, the 10 tribes, and Judah in the south, were a faithful remnant. There always are a faithful remnant. And they will heed the words of God, and they will follow them, and they will cling tenaciously to God's words. And God cannot and never will fail his word. And so as we seek to look at these words this evening, and to apply them, in order for me to expound them and then to apply these great truths, it is somewhat necessary for me to furnish a little background to these verses. The prophet Isaiah, as you know, ministered for a very long time, for well over 50 years, from 739 BC to 685 BC, during a very tumultuous time, during the day of Israel toward its end as a nation. She ceased to be a nation in 722 BC. But he ministered during that time, and during the time of Judah, many dark years. It must have been very discouraging for Isaiah. If we think we have discouraging days, and we do indeed, things have waxed terrible in our day. But think for a moment how it must have been for Isaiah to see at last Israel finally totally reject God's counsels, and then finally in 722 BC to see Israel overthrown as a nation and see Hoshea to be the last king, those 10 tribes of Israel never to have a king again, to cease effectively to be a nation, to be assimilated there with the people of Samaria, and never to be again in their own rights a nation. Think of how discouraging and how disparaging those days must have been for him. And also, furthermore, God speaking to him, warning about Judah and the warnings that we have seen already here concerning Judah, who were not heeding the counsels of God. To see such days of darkness, to see these people who were once a God-fearing nation to become idolatrous and impetuous, when God sends in trials, when these enemies come in, as the prophets have been saying all along, God is sending these enemies, to not trust in the sovereignty of God. You see, blind unbelief is sure to err. As Christians, we believe that God is absolutely sovereign over every nation. And they could not see that God was doing these things and that they needed to turn back to God, to repent to God, so that God would remove the enemies or deal with the enemies. God, as he did in the days of the judges, sent in an enemy, and he did here. He sent them to chasten the people, but they would not hearken. So Isaiah ministered during some very difficult years. His ministry extended across the reigns of four kings in Judah. King Uzziah, that's when he began to serve as a prophet. The Lord called him. And then Jotham, and then Ahaz, the king right now. And then godly King Hezekiah. So those four kings, he had seen them come and go. And the period that concerns us now that we are reading and going to look at this evening, God willing, concerns this period of this wicked king Ahaz, who reigned for some 16 years, from 732 BC to 716 BC. Just to reflect upon the wickedness of this ungodly king, King Ahaz, we have this reference in 2 Kings 17 and the verse 2. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Many evil things. There were godly kings. Followed him was King Hezekiah, who was a godly king. But this man, Ahaz, was such an ungodly king that he would not heed the counsels of the prophets who were exhorting him and the people to cease from their idolatry, to cease from trying to make confederacies with other nations in order to protect Judah. They wouldn't trust in God. Now, God sent two kings to bring trouble to this ungodly king Ahaz. The kings Rezin and Pekah. And instead of repenting, as Isaiah commends to him and the people, instead of repenting and seeking God's help for protection, God, who has actually brought these calamities upon them, Ahaz, what he did with the people and with his counselors, he brought the nation of Judah under subjugation, under taxation from Syria, so that Judah had to pay tribute money, protection money, from these nations that were oppressing them, and they would in turn also give further protection. In 2 Kings 16 and the verse 5 we read, "Then Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to war, and they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. At that time Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Elath to Syria, and drave the Jews from Elath, and the Syrians came to Elath, and dwelt there unto this day." So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, "I am thy servant and thy son. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria, and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me." And Ahaz took the silver and the gold that was found in the house of the Lord, and in the treasuries of the king's house, and sent it for a present to the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria hearkened unto him, for the king of Assyria went up against Damascus, and took it, and carried the people of it captive to Kir, and slew Rezin. So here this ungodly king was paying this tribute money, fearing nations, but not fearing God, not trusting God, not listening to the prophet, not listening to the word of God. However, we know this, that after this ungodly king, after King Ahaz, we know that King Hezekiah became king in the year 715 BC. And actually what Hezekiah did is he shook off this yoke. He refused to pay this tribute money, and he trusted God, and God helped. And that is what we are to do. We are not to trust in men. We are to look to the Lord for all things. And that is the main thrust of these verses here this evening. In 2 Kings 18, the verse 7, we read this concerning Hezekiah. "And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went for, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not." That is, he did not pay any protection money. He would have nothing to do with this, but to trust in the living God. And such are we. We are to trust in the living God. We are to hope in Him. We are not to be under the restraints of other people. And God is no man's debtor. And He will not have His people to be indebted to this world, but to Him that gives all things liberally and faithfully to those that trust Him. So now our concern this evening is at this time of King Ahaz. And you notice, really in the verse 1, they are not listening to the council. Notice with me, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me." In other words, they're taking counsel from the king and all others. "That cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." And so we come to our verse this evening, the verse 15, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." But if you notice the verse 7, something very similar is said earlier on. God says to them, when they, as King Ahaz is going to seek to try to do, to get protection from the Egyptians, "That'll be of no use. For the Egyptians," verse 7, "shall help in vain, and to no purpose therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still." So they were looking to Egypt, but God is warning them that Pharaoh, as much as he intends to try to help you, that will avail nothing. There's no point in trusting him. God says all of this strategy, notice the verse 5, will be of no profit at all. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be of an help, nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. It's all going to go horribly wrong, the Lord is saying. The Egyptians will help you in vain. They will not be able to withstand all of this, but God Almighty will. And God surely is our strength. And so what is the counsel commended to them in the verse 7? Their strength is to sit still. And in fact, in the verse 15, it is put across in a more full way, in a fuller way. "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest," that is, returning to me, "and rest, ye shall be saved, in quietness, in confidence, and in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." And there it is, "and ye would not." Now we must comment at this time. Think of the sins of God's people at this time. They had already gone into idolatry and were already looking for help from the world, not from God. And yet God is so gracious, isn't He, to say, "This is what I will do for you." How kind and how gentle, how merciful is the Lord. He says, "In returning and rest, ye shall be saved. Return unto me." That's all you have to do. Return to me. I will take care of these things. Why? Because I have brought these enemies upon you. We must, as Christians, believe that absolutely everything in this world is under the sovereign control and care of Almighty God. There is not one government in place. There is not one dictator in place without God's sovereign rule. Whether good or bad, God is over all. And so therefore, what confidence have we in God? God is able to remove them. God is able to restrain them. He is able to remove our enemies. He is able to remove our problems. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Remember, that is what he said concerning the return from captivity in Babylon. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Remember how Jeremiah was told to go and to buy a field and to pay the price. Why? It would have been the most ridiculous real estate purchase at the time. Why should you buy the field? Well, because the people will return and vineyards will be planted again. The people will come back after the captivity, because God is over all. He is the Lord, and we should rest in Him and quietly wait on the Lord. Do we believe that God is over every nation? This is the God we serve, not the gods of this world who can do nothing, but the Creator of the universe, who in Ephesians 1, the verse 11 says, He works all things after the counsel of His own will. Absolutely everything. The circumstances of this church and the church where I minister are under the sovereign guiding hand of Almighty God. And what a comfort that is. What an assurance that is. And the Lord says, what a precious promise. What a comfort indeed. God would deliver them from these enemies. All they have to do is return to them. In returning and rest, ye shall be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Not in horses, not in men, not in Egypt, but in the Almighty. In the Almighty God. And God, who has not changed, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to His people tonight. And we must remark that the Lord is so gracious, even when we have erred, even when we haven't heard Him for years and obeyed Him, the Lord is so gracious. What a comfort to me, and what a comfort to you when we fall. The Psalm 103, the verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. And how often do we all err? You and I err every day of our lives. But the Lord is always so gracious, isn't He, to help us. Do we have a difficulty? Perhaps you're in a trial right now. Not that you're being chastened, but the Lord sees you in your trial. Is He not able to help you? The God of heaven and earth sees our difficult situation. He comes with us. But so often are we not overwhelmed with life, and we wonder, does God see? Does God see us? Maybe you feel like me at times. We see the low ebb of the church. We see so few in our meetings. But God knows. And what is our hope? Our hope is in the Lord. What He asks us to do is to wait on Him, to be quiet. You see, every day, I believe, is a test for us. Are we waiting on the Lord? We are living in days of difficulty. It's days of difficulty, no doubt, for Isaiah. But when would things turn? In the Lord's time and His way. Or perhaps maybe we're being chastened. If we are being chastened, what should we do? Wait on the Lord. Return to Him. In the days of Asaph, how concerned he was when he saw the wicked get away with so much. In the Psalm 73, the verse 2 and 3, we read, But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And then he says in the verse 17, Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. And then he says this at the end of that psalm: it's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. We may be cast down, we may be anxious, but our strength is to sit still and to wait on the Lord. We don't know what his purposes are. Sometimes a nation, as a nation here, and I believe perhaps even our nation, is under God's severe chastising. And what should we do? We should sit still. Now that implies something. It doesn't mean do nothing, does it? It means continue on in the ways that God has prescribed. Keep preaching the word. Don't change the ways. Continue to hold forth the faithful word of life. Don't adapt. Don't try to make the church different. Don't introduce new things. Rest in the Lord. Rest in his ways. Put your confidence in his ways. Wait on the Lord. Be still. Don't do anything outside of what he would have you to do. Don't become anxious. Don't become restless. If we believe God is sovereign over all things, and we believe he knows and sees everything, do not believe that he will honor them that honor him? He will. And you see, the sovereignty of God over all of his works, I believe this, it brings the believer the greatest comfort that he or she could ever have. To know that God sees everything. And therefore, this sitting still implies something else. It implies sitting, waiting on the Lord, trusting him, believing in him, not being restless like the world. God, who leads us beside the still waters, through those paths of righteousness, asks us daily to walk in those paths of righteousness for his name's sake, to walk honorably, to live holy lives, to live godly lives, and to be still and to be satisfied in God. And those that wait on him will never be disappointed. Those that wait on the Lord, they will be strengthened, and they shall rise up and mount up as on eagle's wings. They will run, but they will not be weary. And God will help them. So there are two counsels here. Notice with me, two very important maxims for us to follow. The first is returning and rest. In returning and rest ye shall be saved. Now, first of all, there is that. Then secondly, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. I've opened them up somewhat, but let's go a little further. Let's think first of all, returning and rest ye shall be saved. And then secondly, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. The one follows on from the other. If you turn just for a moment to Jeremiah 50 in the verse 6, we notice much later, just before Judah is going to go into exile, into Babylon, Jeremiah is speaking here, rather the Lord through the prophet Jeremiah, and he says this concerning my people. He says, my people hath been a lost sheep. Their shepherds, or their pastors, have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. And this is the trouble, isn't it, with the church today? What is the resting place of God's people? God. He is our resting place. And the work of every true minister, of every true pastor, is to get the people of God to rest in God, to hope in God. There's our hope, there's our confidence, that God will lead us in those green pastures, and that we will know peace and quietness in our hearts, and the indictment in the days of Jeremiah to the pastors and to the people is that they have forgotten their resting place. The Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me beside still waters. And you see, unless we have been converted, unless we have been saved, we will not know that rest. First of all, it's rest from sins, isn't it? Sins forgiven, soul renewed, a relationship with God, resting in Him, trusting in the God who providentially arranges all things and is working all things together for good to them that love Him, to them that are the called according to His purpose. It is trusting Him. I know whom I've believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. We trust in the righteousness of Jesus Christ for our salvation, and God who is ordering our lives every day. We who are the apple of His eye, He will never take His eye off us. And He will not harm us, but He will at times have to chasten us. But our rest, our hope is in Him. The problem is, the people had forgotten their resting place. So in returning and rest, ye shall be saved. Now, have we turned to God at all? That's a question we must ask ourselves, each and every one of us. Have you turned to God at all? God, who is our Creator and our Sustainer, is the one ordering everything, and who sent His Son to die for sinners. Have you turned to the Lord? Have you repented of your sins? Believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you submitted to Him? Have you professed Him before the world? Do you own Him as your Lord? Do you pray to Him? Do you live before Him and before this watching world? Do you own Him before the world? Are you ashamed of Him? Do you follow His commandments? Not in order to merit eternal life, but because you are His. Have you returned to the bishop of your soul? Is He the bishop of your soul? Have you turned to Him? Peter, when he writes in 1 Peter 2:24, he says this concerning the Lord Jesus, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And so you see, the first question is, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. Where is your confidence? You have no confidence for the great day of judgment unless you have turned and returned to God. Peter says Christians have returned to the bishop of their souls. Some people say, well, I'm waiting for the Lord to turn me. I'm waiting for the Lord to turn me. Well, has He turned your heart? That's the question I put to you tonight. Has He turned your heart? If He has, you've repented of your sins. And if you have repented of your sins and turned your heart and mind, if He's done that work, you must then yourself then turn yourself to Him. Because that's what the Scripture says. But are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. If you are a Christian, you have returned to your God, your Creator. And you bow to Him. You own Him before the world. You will not have safety if you have not returned to the Lord. But you see, even when we are saved, when the Lord saves somebody, sadly we err, we wander from the fold of God. We have hearts that are prone to wander from the one that we love. In the Psalm 119, the verse 176, we read the psalmist says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek Thy servant, for I do not forget Thy commandments. And so it is, the Christian has to constantly repent. In this life, we are always repenting, because we have indwelling sin. But again, I come back to this question, have you return to the Lord? Have you begun to repent? Being a Christian does not mean you just repent once and you never need to repent again. It's the beginning of a life of repentance, of denying self, of confessing your sins and walking after the Lord. But even then we fall, we fail, and we must keep returning. But there's something else. Returning and rest, ye shall be saved. When we return to the Lord, we rest. We rest in Him. We rest in His love. We rest in His finished work. We rest in the Lord. It's the only place we can rest. Because He's the Good Shepherd who laid down His life for us. And at Calvary, He silenced all the accusations that were against us. He took the sins of all of His people and He bare them in His own body. And now we've returned to that Shepherd of our souls and we rest in Him. But of course, when we sin against Him, we need to confess that guilty conscience. And then we rest again. We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Whenever the devil comes and accuses us, we say the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. No one can bring any charge against us, and we rest in that. But furthermore, there's more in the Christian's life. There's ongoing resting in His providence coming in every day. When a difficulty comes, we rest. That all is well. It shall be well with the righteous. He'll undertake for me. We continue to rest in the Saviour. You sing that lovely hymn, "Return to thy rest, my soul, and rejoice. Let Christ be thy boast, for thou art His choice. And though sin and Satan and their hellish guest do vex and dishearten, Jehovah's thy rest." He's our rest. Do you rest in Him? Have you ever rested in Him? Well, I say the Christians rest in the Lord. You can rest your head upon your pillow tonight, knowing that though you and I have sinned, if we have confessed our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We rest in that. And we rest in this, that whatever trials and tribulations and difficulties come in our lives, He's working it for our good. But with the wicked, there's no rest. There's no rest in this life. They put their confidence in people. Some are putting their confidence in their good works, thinking that their good works are going to save them. We don't rest in that. We rest in a Saviour who has done it all for us. And we put our confidence in Him. Secondly, notice, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. In quietness and in confidence. Quietness, what does that imply? I don't say a word. I'm silent. I don't question God's dealings with me in my life. I trust Him. It implies trust, doesn't it? Trust in the Lord. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. Trust in the Lord. In quietness and in confidence. Where's our confidence? It's not in us, is it? It's resting in Him. There's our confidence in the Almighty. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. What a precious thing that is. To have that strength. In quietness. If you turn with me to Job, Job knew this. In Job 34, the verse 28. "So that they cause the cry of the poor to come unto Him. He heareth the cry of the afflicted." And you notice the verse 29. "When He giveth quietness, who then can make trouble?" When the Lord, dear friend, and I'm sure you've experienced it as a Christian, has given you a quietness in your heart. Your confidence is in Him. Who can make trouble? What can difficulties do? We sang from that lovely hymn earlier on, hymn number 996 in Gatsby's Hymns, about the city of our God, and running through that is the river which streams make glad thereof. The Lord Jesus Christ is in the midst of his people, and he gives that quietness, he gives that peace, that sense that all is well. In that Psalm 46, remember old Luther used to say when he found a church in trouble, he'd say, "Let's sing Psalm 46 and let the devil do his best." Well, his confidence was in this river, which makes glad the city of God, God's people. And he is our peace. He is our confidence. Blessed river, great the virtues are, pure river. Oh, how sweet and clear, deep river, through the deepest way, full river, never to decay. Ye thirsty, poor and needy souls, for you this wondrous river rolls. Though sin and sorrow make you sad, yet drink and let your hearts be glad. If we have Christ, we smile at the storm. If we have the Lord Jesus as our Savior, who gives us rest, who gives us peace, who can make trouble, says Job. If he is for us, never be against us. And you see, it's confidence in the Lord. Remember when the disciples were in the boat, and the waves and the billows were coming over, and they cried, "Master, do you not care?" He rose up and he rebuked the wind and the waves. He said, "Oh, ye of little faith." He gave quietness. But we can have quietness amidst the storm, because he is over the floods. We read in the Word of God that he sitteth over the floods. He sitteth over all the troubles. If you're going through some unspeakable illness, if you're going through some unspeakable trial, the Lord is able to give you quietness. There's a purpose, there's a reason. And he will give you quietness, because your confidence is in him. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. What a wonderful thing it is to see a Christian going on in the way. Remember what Job said. "He that hath clean hands shall grow stronger and stronger." Furthermore, he said before that, "The righteous shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall grow stronger and stronger." If God is over all in this world, why do we turn to men? Why do we trust in anything else but him, who raises kings up? What are the nations? They are but a, he says, but a drop in the bucket. They're here today, gone tomorrow. We may seem very small and feeble, so few of us, but God is able to turn that around. All he is asking us to do is to be still and wait on the Lord. Remember how the Egyptians were coming when they were escaping from Egypt, the people of God, and the people were fearing. That was one almighty day. What a day that was. In Exodus 14:10, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt us with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again, no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And that is exactly what happened. The Lord fought for them. The Egyptians were destroyed. Not one Israelite was lost. And now they want to turn to Egypt for help. The people God had destroyed. Oh, dear friends, our hope, our confidence is in the Lord. We may seem very small and feel very feeble, but we have God in our midst, and that is all that matters. That is the main thing, that God is in the presence of our meetings, that God is in the presence of this church. You may seem very down, but the Lord says, be still. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. There's a reason why we are being kept. There are more to be saved. Every single one of Christ's elect will be saved. That's one reason. But we're here for the Lord's glory. And the church will continue until his day. And God's people will go through many trials. And these trials will only improve them. They will only strengthen you. Whatever difficulty it is, whatever illness, whatever trial, Peter says, if ye're in manifold temptations for a season, if need be, it's for the trying of your faith. And to prove that God is God. And that he will come in for you. That he will strengthen you. And he will succor you. And the wrath of man eventually will praise God. Though the heathen rise up. And though the nations rise up against the Almighty. And they bring forces against the church. God says this, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard, and God will be glorified. One day, the world will see the many, many Christians that have already gone up to glory. Many that have sat in these seats and have gone home. Many will see them, and the world will be shocked. The church looks very pitiful in this day and age. But this is not the church. The mother of us all is above. The Jerusalem above. One day the world and you and I will see it. God will do it. He will perform all his good pleasure. And our confidence is to sit still and to wait patiently on the Lord, to return to him. You will be saved, and in quietness and confidence there will be your strength and your peace. My dear brethren, the Lord encourage you, the Lord bless you. Hold on your way. The Lord will sure come and bless you and encourage you, and you will see his hand in his time. Amen.